In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman here in the bowels of the family estate. John Senecal here, episode 251. We'll touch on a little Tommy John. We'll do team update. We'll get into just briefly in Josh Baez and get a little road rage story from John. I wonder if how I would do next to John Senecal on a plane.
That's the thing, Brian. It's, you know, when you travel, and I do a lot of traveling for my job, it's like you are at the mercy of the airline, right? Like once you walk through that TSA, it's like they got you. They got you by the balls, right? Like you have no idea who you're sitting next to unless you're traveling with family. You don't know like when your flight's going to get there because you're at their mercy. You don't know when you're going to land. You don't know what your like ride share is going to be like until you actually get in it. Like it's always a disaster. Usually,
for control freaks like you, that must be tough.
Yeah, and like it's interesting. Like I've been pretty lucky, but you know, you get on these planes, and I learn a few tricks. Right, you go on the app before you get on the flight, and you look at the seats if there's any seats available, and you see if you can move your seat based on, you know, not even paying. A lot of times you don't have to pay. I just see if I can move it, and that helps. Or you look and strategically look and see what seats might be open, and they might not fill, and then you hope you don't get someone next to you. Sometimes that works. And then you sit in your seat and you're thinking, as these people are walking down the aisle, is this the person that's going to sit next to me? Is this, please don't be the person. Please don't be the person. And, you know, oh, this person's small. This might not be that bad. But, you know, I had an interesting flight, Brian. I was flying from Connecticut to Phoenix, and everything got jammed up. And my first leg of my flight wound up going through Atlanta instead because everything got backed up. And so I flew from Atlanta to Phoenix. And I had the pleasure of sitting next to an elderly lady and her husband. And for like 4.5, almost 5 hours, Brian, she fidgeted and went through her purse, her small purse, Brian, like about the size of, you know, half a shoebox, for 5 straight hours. And then she also picked through the backs of the pocket seats and everything. At one point, she put her hand in my pocket because she was fidgeting so much next to me. And it's like you're in a situation, Brian, where it's like, what are you going to do, right? Like you can't flip out at her because she's an elderly woman. She clearly has some issues, right? And it's like, what do? You just have to eat it.
Well, distressed? Like,
no, I think it was, well, she definitely was a smoker because I seen the pack of cigarettes pull out of her purse at least 1,000 times. All right. So she definitely was a smoker. So maybe she was dealing with that, maybe, but she didn't like come across. She seemed like she had some obsessive compulsive issues. Her husband sat next on the far and she was in the middle. I was on the window and her husband just plugged in those headphones, man, and looked straight forward and just blocked her out. And they'd probably been together, you know, they're given their age, at least 35, 40 years. So
I mean, she was just like OCD and didn't pick up a book, didn't watch a movie,
no,
and just did the same thing over and over the whole flight.
Over and over and over. Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting, Brian. It was something. It was something to experience.
You would be an interesting guy to travel next to as well, I'm sure, just because you get annoyed so easy. Listen, but it's
patience, Brian. I'm learning patience. I'm learning patience.
Yeah. But the hard part is you got delayed. You were trying to see the D-backs play, and you missed the game because you got delayed. So that sucks.
Supposed to get in at 10 a.m., and I wound up getting in at 10 p.m.
Didn't some rookie hit a home run in his first at-bat or something?
Yeah, it was Zach Veen, former Yard Goats. His first game, he hit his first major league hit, and he got a home run. Yeah, so I could have seen that. And there was something else in that game I missed. I forget. It was like a strikeout milestone.
You know, a lot of people have already done their obits on Tommy John. You know, I mean, obviously, we all know the surgery. Younger generations don't even know anything about the person. They might think he was the actual doctor, right? I mean, like, people don't know that he was a pitcher. I think he won 20 games 3 times, and all 3 were after he had the surgery. He actually had a couple really good seasons in his first stint with the Yankees. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I had sent you guys, you and Matt, that picture of this so-called final autograph that someone had sent to him. And it literally looked like he couldn't even – he just was flapping all over the thing. And then he had just sent a thing during the Old Timers Day where he had sent a thank you note to Yankee fans because he was in hospice care. So everybody knew it was kind of coming. But that being said, you know, it's to me, and I think to a lot of baseball people in general, I think there's an injustice that he's not in the Hall of Fame. You know, and it's not like a Don Mattingly kind of thing. Tommy John, you know, the stats are there, right? 288 wins. The longevity alone, 26 seasons and having a winning record as a Major League Baseball player. But given the fact that, you know, just not just his on-field accomplishments, but what he meant for the game in general, like he took a chance on himself, right? And he revolutionized the sport. We're talking about a surgery now that 40% of all active MLB pitchers have had in their career, right. Brian.
Well, it's so now a type of thing where it almost feels like organizations encourage you to get it while you're in the minors because you add a couple of miles an hour to your pitching. So, I mean, it's almost like a standard thing now, which is crazy. But
yeah, and you can also argue that, you know, and Tommy John would have told you this in interviews, that, you know, he didn't like the fact that it was being used on such young athletes, you know, kids that are 13, 14, 12 years old that were getting it because they were, you know, one, for being overworked, or two, you know, that they had the injury. Like, you know, a lot of kids, my son had a version of that injury. His friend had a version of the injury. Were just getting it because they knew that, oh, wow, this kid will be good. He'll be good going into college. He'll be a stud, and he might need it again in college to get to the next level, but it's going to benefit him in a way, right? So that, you know, it's controversial surgery in that aspect, right? But there's no question about it. It does rejuvenize people's career like it did Tommy John. Most recently, Garrett Cole, right? I mean, not to say he was on the back end of his career, but dude is pitching out of his mind right now, and he's gained velocity, like you said, too, Brian.
Well, I mean, when you think about his numbers, his career numbers, what is it, 288 wins, 231 losses. His career ERA is 3.34, which is excellent. You know, I mean, if he had these numbers in today's major leagues, he would absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. But he happened to do it in the era where 300 wins was the prerequisite, right? So
exactly. I mean, you'd even look at the number of innings pitched he would pitch in a season. And if you hit 200 innings pitched, you're an absolute stud now in MLB. But I think, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, pitched from 1963 to 1989. That's insane, right? But I think what the Hall of Fame kind of what hurts him, I think, is he never came across as a dominant pitcher because he didn't strike people out, right? 4,710 innings pitched, 4,783 hits, right? More hits than innings pitched, and only 2,245 Ks. That's not a lot, Brian, obviously. So that, he's not a dominant pitcher. And the one interesting to play on that is he threw 162 complete games in his career. You're never going to see that in today's baseball. Yeah. But 91 of those complete games, Brian, he didn't record a strikeout in the game. Not one strikeout.
So he wasn't amazing? A strikeout. He was a pitcher. He was a pitcher's pitcher. Like, you
a
know
pitcher's
what I mean?
Pitcher. Like, a competitor, too.
Right. Well, clearly he had to work out of a lot of jams, and he let the guys put the ball in play, and hopefully his team did the job defensively. I mean, that's like, that's baseball before 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, right? I mean, there's always a couple of great fastball pitchers, but back in, you know, from, I don't know, 1970 and earlier, pitching was pitching. It was about guile and, you know, put a little spin here, spin there. It was just a different approach. So I don't have an opinion whether he should be in the Hall of Fame or not. Obviously, the surgery revolutionized the game, and what I think is a good moment to reflect on that he was actually a pitcher that had a great major league career, because I do think anyone under the age of 40 or 45 probably thinks that that's the name of the doctor. Really, I do. I mean, they don't even know that he played.
No, I agree with you 100%. And it's crazy that if you Google it and look at the list of players that have had it, I mean, there's been 2,500 overall that have had it, like in general, in professional sports. But some of these guys, like even like position players that have had it. Like, who do you think the first position player was that had it?
No idea.
Paul Mahler, Hall of Famer. Right? The first pitcher in the Hall of Fame that had it. John Smoltz, Hall of Famer.
Huh.
And then you got guys like Canseco, Bronson Arroyo, Eric Gagne, John Franco, a lefty whose career just kept going and going and going and going, right? Bryce Harper, everyone's favorite, Carl Pavano, right? Otani. And then former Red Sox manager John Farrell was the first player to have it done two times. He's a former pitcher, right?
Yeah,
he was
that's
the first
right.
player to have it done two times to him.
That's great factoids. I mean, it's cool. I mean, maybe they'll, I don't know, post-mortem put him in, which doesn't make any
sense. I would think it's sad, right? The same, not the same as Pete Rose, but should be in the Hall of Fame, but not the same, obviously. But it's sad that he's not going to see himself. I think he will get into the Hall of Fame. I think he deserves to be there for the stuff we talked about. But it is sad that he won't be able to see that. Yeah.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Let's hop on the teams really quick. How you feeling?
Oh, God, Brian. How am I feeling? Yankees could score some runs, Brian. If only the Yankees could score some runs. Here's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that the Yankees need to bench Jazz Chisholm, even though he's going to pout and cry and bitch and moan. But he's not helping. He's not helping at all. They need to either stick Lombard somewhere in the order or stop moving around. But that can't happen because Boone is like the chess master. And I will say that Giancarlo Stanton is probably going to emerge this week at some point. My guess is probably Friday he will emerge. Cody Bellinger is going on a rehab assignment. He will probably be back sometime next week. And Aaron Judge, we're not even going to talk about him because he's probably in October. He's probably this last week of September, October player. So let's not even worry about that. The Yankees need to score some runs, Brian, and the defense is trash. We know that. The left side of the infield is good with McMahon and Lombard. The rest of the team, you don't know what you're going to get defensively. You just don't. They're wasting pitching, Brian. We've talked about it a million times, but if you're going to win now, you need to make changes, and that change needs to be sitting Jazz Chisholm Jr.
Here's the deal: where both teams are in the same boat in this sense. Well, first of all, they're both scuffling. Yankees not quite as bad in the scuffles as the Red Sox. Red Sox had a tough weekend in Pittsburgh, but both teams basically are waiting for injuries to see if they're going to be able to make a real run, right? So obviously Judge, everything hinges on him. But I mean, honestly, if Stanton could come back and give him two good months, that would be because he's still pitchers have to deal with him, and that changes the matrix for everybody else. So I think that Stanton is a big deal because if he comes back and hits, then pitchers have to respect it, and that helps the lineup. And maybe that happens, and it gives them time until Judge comes back. But listen, they're not going to win the World Series without Judge, and that's the bottom line, period, full stop. So for the Red Sox, and you can touch on the dates, if the Red Sox get Roman Anthony and Trevor Story back, I don't know what the deal with Crochet is, but if they get those two back, I don't know who leaves, right? I don't know who gets the exit, but if it doesn't shake up the chemistry and they play decent, you have two really good players available to you down the stretch.
Yeah, I think you're not dealing with such a situation that the Yankees would deal with if you bench Jazz Chisholm, if you're benching Jaron Duran, because Jaron Duran has come out and openly said he sucks. Right, he thought he was going to be traded, actually, for the trading deadline. So I think
he said he thought he'd be released because they couldn't
even
trade
worse,
him.
Yeah. Even worse, right? So I think there's your easy plug right there, Roman Anthony. But Roman Anthony has to start his rehab assignment. He has to prove that he can get it together and hit in the major leagues. But you're going to bring him up. He's going to come to the team this season because you're paying him. He's going to be there, and he is supposedly your hope. So there's your quick fix there. I don't know what you do with Trevor Story. You know, he's at the back end of his deal. He has the resume, and the guy that's in there right now is just nobody knows who he is, right? I can't remember his last name. Monasterio? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Monasterio, who's played well, but I mean, no one thinks he's a legit, starter.
Exactly. So I don't see that going to be an issue. So I don't really see the Red Sox having that many issues as far as health, other than them getting through their rehab assignments, right? You plug them in. Let's be honest, Brian, the way the teams are stacked up now, the Yankees and Red Sox just have to play 500 baseball and they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
that being said, that's not an easy thing to do with how bad both these teams are. And let's be honest, the Red Sox went on that run, and that's probably why they will make the playoffs, is that big 27-3 run they went on. Because they are not as good as that. No team is as good as that, Brian. We know that. Yep. And they're going to come back to earth. So that third wild card spot is going to be insane. We'll talk about that as it comes, but that's going to be insane. But that being said, I see it more as the Red Sox just need to make sure that these guys get through it. And the good thing for you guys is that they started their rehab assignments Giancarlo doesn't do rehab assignments. He jogs bases, takes BP, and shows up in the lineup. That's why I say he'll probably be in the lineup on Friday.
Right.
I want to say one more thing about Jazz. You know, what drives me nuts about him, other than the fact that he sucks on the field this year, is that the free pass, like, they're finally getting on this guy's case, where Anthony Volpe last year, the poor kid was dragged through the mud all season long, and he took it with a smile on his face. And I don't get why Jazz got such a free pass all season. I don't get it. And it's just now that he's really getting raked over the coals. And Michael Kay is really the big guy that's driving it, really.
Well, I mean, I don't follow it as close as you. I mean, Chisholm's a charismatic guy, and I don't know. I mean, but if you don't produce, you don't produce. I mean, the Yankees, the way they have these sort of not full-blown stars, but medium shining stars that they got to deal with. I mean, I don't know. I mean, guys.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees just don't play smart baseball. They don't play intensity. They challenge pitches.
We said it before.
One-on-one counts. They're awful. They're not that exciting to watch.
The Red Sox are interesting in the sense that they just have all these randos that are coming through on any given day. But I'll just wrap up and say the Red Sox aren't coming back down to earth. They're already on the earth, and it's tough. It's a tough slog. But I do think they'll make the playoffs. I think that third wild card could be a below 500 team. So I mean, the league, as we've said, just stinks. We did want to touch on quickly. And the Sox, I don't know who the Yanks are with, but the D-backs are a good team that need wins coming to Boston. So you can't really just chill and relax because they're not mailing it in at all. This guy with the Cardinals, who the three home runs to start his career was pretty cool. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is pretty amazing, right? Like, last episode we were talking about that Blue Jays play, right? And like, you never know what you're going to see in a Major League Baseball game. Right. Well, the folks that were in Chicago on Saturday saw something that has never happened in Major League Baseball, which is insane to think about. But when you do think about it, three home runs in your first three plate appearances of your Major League career, like,
and that's never, ever, ever, ever happened.
Ever, 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 forever, ever, ever happened, which is, and that probably never will happen again, Brian. Think about that. Just to hit three home runs alone. But you got to do this when you first come into the league, you know, in the first three plate appearances, not at bats. You didn't have no walks or anything. But the bad thing is the dude went 0 for 4 with 3 Ks the next day. So, you know, baseball humbles you real quick, right? But I want to tell you, there's a Red Sox connection to this, Brian, and you're going to have to follow me. This gets a little, it's got a couple steps here. So Joshua Baez, three home runs in his first three major league plate appearances, right? So the Hall of Fame calls him and they want something from him. So he gives them their cleats, his cleats from the game. All right. So interesting fact, Brian, they're not his cleats. They are Blaze Jordan's cleats that he borrowed for that game. And Blaze Jordan is, of course, a former Red Sox drafty and former Red Sox who is now in the major leagues.
He's in the major
leagues. He's on the Cardinals. Yeah, he plays third base and first base and a little bit of outfield for the Cardinals.
I had no idea. I remember following him, you know, from his draft because he's got a great name, obviously. And then
he was the home run hitting guy after Bryce Harper came through in the high school. You know, he was the big high school home run hitting guy, and he had that. You know, they have mental health issues, but yeah, he's been up in the majors this year, and he's having a pretty good season. He's put together with the Cardinals.
Yeah, he was pretty transparent about the mental health stuff, and I remember really kind of admiring that in a young kid. Yeah, man, he's
bat like 250 or something like that. 250
plate appearances, and he's hit. What does he hit for home runs?
Does
he
only hit two home runs? He doesn't play every day, but he's been on the roster, you know, most of the season. So, you know, good for him. And he's indirectly in the Hall of Fame, Brian.
Yeah, and he's only 23. That is really cool. I had no clue, but it's kind of a bummer he didn't give his bat. They want to keep all that stuff for future sales or something. I don't know.
Well, I think they don't want to give away their bat because they like it, right? And
who the Yankees got this week?
Oh, the Yankees got Baltimore, who, like you said, that third wild card spot. And then they also have, I think they go back to Toronto after that. So they're coming right back to Toronto where they choked it up. So in Baltimore, home against Toronto, off Houston, and then Boston, the end of the month, Brian. At home.
Yeah, that's it.
Last time they see Boston, I believe.
And that could be a really good series. All right, listen, so we got a good week ahead. Both teams are scuffling. Players might come back and help. We'll see what happens, of course, with Stanton late in the week. And you think that anything with Anthony or Story would be next week, correct?
Well, yeah, because, listen, you know, Anthony especially because, you know, he has been out for so long. You don't really know what he's been doing because everything's been so hush-hush and coy with him. And it's supposedly his pinky, right? His index pinky or ring pinky or something with a ligament. So yes, he's probably been running. He's probably been doing some sort of conditioning. It's not like a Judge thing, but I would think he might need a little bit longer to get going because he probably hasn't been doing a ton of like baseball swinging and stuff. And that's the main thing, right?
Right. Listen, John, have a great week. Brian Shackman, John Senecal, you've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.